Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The Football Pod on Off The Ball, brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. It's Tuesday, the 7th of July. Paddy Andrews is with me. James O'Donoghue is with me. It's All-Ireland semi-final week and Tailteann Cup final weekend. Paddy Andrews, looking well.
Thank you, Tommy. I feel well. The sun is shining. I'm looking out at a beautiful Dublin Bay. Looking out at there. Glistening water. Oh. Class.
Fantastic. There James O'Donoghue, you sound good too.
Do I? Well, I invested in new equipment. Yeah. Courtesy of Maguire Financial. Does it sound good, does it?
Beautiful. Do you know what you look like? There's a movie. You look like
Halle Berry. Did we lose him there again, or is that my connection?
Halle Berry is one of the sexiest women of all time. How do I look like Halle Berry?
Because there's a movie that she's in recently, and she's in a call center.
I knew you were looking at me funny recently. That glint in the eye.
The Call. It's called The Call. It's actually 10 years old. Yeah, that's what you reminded me of the second I saw you. How are you keeping? Thank you. Hear us all right anyway.
I can hear you loud and clear, baby. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. But it feels like it's been a while. The hurling took center stage this weekend.
It hasn't been a while, lads.
It did.
We've done about 800 shows in the last month. It hasn't been a while. I'm literally sick of the sight of both of you. But anyway, pleasantries. Yeah. See how we are in 45 minutes on this call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the hurling, lads.
I tell you what, the hurling was good, wasn't it? But it was all about that little interaction between Don Logan and Joe, wasn't it?
Really?
It was funny. It was great telly. Well, that was the hurling actually, and in the Limerick game, they missed some amount of easy wides. I thought the quality was down a bit in that game. Mm. I didn't see much of the of the second game. Then I was
Limerick
out
and
about,
Clare. Limerick and Clare was one of the greatest games.
It was dogged though, wasn't it? Like, Limerick, did you ever doubt Limerick?
It was dogged.
It wasn't one. That's the thing with hurling. Every game is the greatest game ever. Do you ever notice that? Relax. It was a half decent game. Fairly intense. It wasn't the greatest game ever, Tommy.
In recent years, it was.
No, they were missing frees left, right, and centre.
I just think, but sometimes I think when the frees are being scored and there's scores happening all over the place, I actually think 121 to 119 with all these brilliant hooks and tackles and
schmozzles. That's like a bad game match. Class. That's a bad football match, those scores. 119, like, Jesus Christ. Like.
Dunlough was given out about the arc, and then he had a pop off poor Kenning for no reason. Mm.
What
he was narky.
What did we make of that, lads?
Has anyone ever said to you, James, how many All Ireland medals have you won?
No.
I say to him off air when he's getting to big like, Jimmy, cut the shit, Jimmy. How many All Irelands you have? It's a horrendous thing to say, I have to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I presume he's joking, is he? Or is he not?
He wasn't joking. He was trying to get a dagger in there. Mm. He was saying that he couldn't comment because he doesn't have enough. Like,
Joe's got two club All Ireland medals with Port Tumna as well.
He's
three or four with the club. Like, but yeah, your ability to talk about a match is not dependent on how many All Irelands you have.
Absolutely not.
It seemed like I thought it was a joke because it was so ridiculous that he's kind of maybe just his humor, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
I think it is. I think it is his humor.
But Kenning's point, like, you know, he's got a bit of a point there. Like, I know the train thing, but Well, it's not never. No 100%. Team ever likes.
You got carried away.
No team ever likes hearing this about it. But tell me, you've got to look at the facts, baby. You know, when the chips are down in the biggest games over the last couple of seasons, they've shit the bed. You know, Uncanny's gone. Why is that? They've got brilliant players. They've got
supporters.
It's not. Maybe that's the way it was. Maybe it was phrased incorrectly. It's not just the supporters are entitled to get excited. That's, you know, that's why we're excited for this weekend. But it seems like, and we're not in the camp, we don't know, but there's such hype and build up and focus on the Cork hurling team that how else I feel it definitely plays some sort of role, and that when the biggest games, the biggest moments of the season of the last couple of years, they're not showing up. And they've got brilliant players. They've got brilliant athletes. We've seen it. They've demonstrated 90% of the time through the season. But they've got to be looking and turning and going, why is it when the pressure's at its greatest that we're not showing up? So Canning kind of making that point. Maybe, but like it's punditry, entertainment.
The fact you said book the trains. Yeah,
that can rile people up their own. I see Don Lowe's going to defend it, obviously, because no one likes hearing about it. But it's the fundamental messages: are they taking their eye off the ball, even a little bit? Because
but they've been beaten. How do you explain? They've been beaten by everybody. They've been beaten by Limerick, Clare, Tip last year in the final. It's not like one team has their number. Like they're being beaten kind of everywhere. So and they're always then. You'd always hear Cork supporters about how they're going to win the All-Ireland. I don't know. I think he had a point.
I think the Cork footballers
need to get more support off the Cork people. Back to hurling for a couple of years. That's back on the football scene.
Who'd win a match between the Galway footballers and the Cork hurlers? Who'd win that?
Oh, God. Let's not get into that. Let's let Galway lie where they are. On paper,
we've got serious teams.
Did you see, just on this, right, and on supporters, I'm not sure did you see the video I had of the Galway fans going bananas singing N17?
I did, it's class. Yeah, it was very good. Yeah.
It's cool having a song, isn't it?
Yeah. The Dubs last week, do you know, as the plucky young
they were singing, Dublin.
And then what's the Kerry one, James? What's the Kerry one?
Kerry then. Carries a rose of tree, I think, because that's what they run out to anyway. When you're just, you need to be expired before the biggest game of your life, and next thing, the rose of tree is banging out around Croke Park.
Dahi O'Shea, high five, and he's on the way out.
Dublin had a couple of Luke Kelly classics, Tommy. Yeah.
Dublin had bangers, and you all know we do, so I'm not even going to rise to that.
Dublin had Aslan into the dressing room one season, didn't they?
Yep. Did Christy, Ronan Keating
sad. These are the hands of a tired man.
Oh yeah,
go Jim.
I'm liking this mic, it suits me.
Yeah. Do you know what, Madonna. I was at Take That on Saturday Night Boys, and Schieffer brought me along, and do you know what I thought looking up at Gary and Howard and Mark on stage, obviously no Robbie, I was like, I wonder would the football pod be like that in 20? Will we have that on-air chemistry, that on-stage charisma?
That the lads have.
That ability to put on a show, the dance moves in 20. I think if we get there in 20 years' time, I think my life will be in a really good place.
Well, seeing as myself and Petty were sacked off our own show, I don't know how that's going to work.
Are we allowed to come to that road show?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay.
Yeah. But we've been banned. And the special guest. I'd be actually letting you know who our special guest is on our membership.
Is it the special guest we think it is?
Yeah.
That me and Jimmy think it is.
The one that you didn't believe me and you met him the next day in the hotel.
That is random, isn't it? I definitely didn't believe you. And so I looked up on the old laptop and there he was.
But why wouldn't you believe me? You've been working with me for 6 years. I've always delivered.
That's not true. But I didn't know if this gentleman will be interested in hanging around with us, Shams. But it'd be great if he is.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, to be fair, our guest list has been like top level, I think. It has.
Yeah.
And everyone we've had on has been sensational.
I wonder who that's thanks to. But anyways, we'll move on.
But are me and James allowed to go on that night? Can you reserve two tickets for us? No,
you're
we're not
central part of it.
I feel like Robbie Williams. This is like Robbie Williams.
We're mixing up the show. We've done it brilliantly, and it's just been mixed up, and it's kind of it's going to be fantastic, and we're going to have great crack as well. We're also on Saturday in Croke Park with Movember. We're doing a little preview before the Tashkent Cup final and Mayo and Louth. So I'll give you details for where we're going to be around Croke Park for that as well. Movember looking after the pod this season. So we'll bring you that detail a little later. One little bit from the weekend, lads. I don't know what you thought of it and if you caught it, but post-match press conferences this year with managers have been very interesting. John Kiely after the game, I asked him about turning to the crowd in the 65th minute in the Hogan stand and trying to hype them up. Mm. Like a hype guy. John Kiely.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
But like, I loved it.
Did you hear his answer?
Savage. What? But hey, Parkinson put that up and he was giving out about people taking his clips. And you asked the question, Tom. I heard him say Tommy in it.
I think.
Go on, I missed this. Tommy, go on. Your moment in the sun. And this is the summer of Tommy. This is the summer of Tommy.
I did. I appeared on Smaller Fish. Well, my name appeared on it. But I think Colm is, you know, we've put him straight on what way press conferences work. So all good on that one. We're all entitled to use our stuff. But the thing that killed me, lads, there was an embargo put on. We don't often have embargoes, right? So there was an embargo put on the press conference. So the first 5 minutes were free to use on Sunday. And I had kind of not listened to the embargo. And next thing I asked my question, and I was like, this is brilliant stuff. We can't use it on the radio until tomorrow morning. Anyways, only a small thing inside baseball. But Kylie's answer, like James, it reminded me a touch of the impact David Clifford had last year when he had a call to arms to the Kerry support and they responded in numbers. Like, Kylie knows he's not talking to the press there.
What did he say? I missed it. Tell us what he said.
He said that the Limerick supporters behind them, there's 15,000 behind them, and he said that they were getting too engrossed in the game and too quiet. And he said that if you're turning up to the game as a supporter, you have a job to do. You have to actually come and support the team and get behind them. And at the end of the interview was probably the best bit where he was like, the lads are doing their best out in the field, but when the supporters are shouting at them, they're actually holding them to task. It's like... Yeah. They're gonna do even better if you're on them and you know holding them to doing it. It was just an unbelievable answer, and I know for a fact that it will affect the atmosphere in the final.
Yes.
The Limerick crowd will be absolutely lifting after it.
James, you did a great job there of paraphrasing it. Not only had I 8 defending our half of the pitch, I had another 15,000 holding them to account behind us. Like, what a message to share. But I also wonder. Will the Mayo fans hear that? Will the Loud fans clock on to that? Will the Dublin and Kerry fans and so? I think it's going to add an extra bit of juice and sauce to the atmosphere in Croke Park over the next couple of weekends. Anyways, it's just a cracker of a line.
No one's put it like that before. Everyone has said, you know, come to the game, maybe you know, wear the colours and support the team, but no one's actually said the impact that it has. It's just that word where you're holding them to account. Like, that is so powerful. Like, and it's true that every block or every run is cheered and you feel like people are acknowledging everything you do. You're going to do more. It's just like, it's a natural mental thing, but it is a fact. I think it'll have a big impact.
Jimmy, isn't it true? Like, we played in games in Croker and that momentum thing, we've seen how important it is in all the championship matches this season. You look at it, if you're looking ahead to this weekend, Dublin against Galway 2 weeks ago, that last 10 minutes, the Dublin crowd are on, and it gives you energy when you don't think you have any left. And it can work the other way as well. You know, things aren't going well and it's quiet and there's maybe murmurs, this isn't going well, or why there's groans, that can get in on a team as well. So Kylie's a legend, obviously, but he's Jesus Christ, like he's, you know, is this, or not the hurling partly, but is this the last game for a lot of those guys in 2 weeks? What a final it's going to be.
Garrod Hegarty is some man, though.
Oh.
Like.
He'd do damage, wouldn't he?
Talk about leadership. The leadership. We'll have to break down the word leadership someday, actually, what it means. But like,
but hey,
he the leadership, up
you sound like
a man, moment,
the
like.
Senior there. He's the leader of our senior
leaders.
It's only one senior in this month. But Hegarty, lads, like Conor Cleary is a hell of a footballer too, as is Garrod Hegarty. Cleary has done a hell of a job on Hegarty until he gets the yellow card and then a foul and he gets whipped off. But the manner
of they have
Hegarty,
to take him off? Could they have moved him?
No, get a red card.
They had to. Yeah,
they had to take him off Hegarty because he plays too physical.
And I think the Clare lads just resorted to
karate chops on him in the last 10 minutes. Just get him a headlock here, do something. Stop him getting the ball. Like.
And
they were missing the freeze, and it was the best hurling game of all time.
Fair enough. Maybe I was a little bit hyperbole. You know, I'm guilty of that sometimes.
Can we get Donal Oge on the road show? Let Jimmy and Donal Oge go head to head. That would be
fun.
I'd pay to see that one.
That might be, you know, even spicier than myself and James when we get arguing. Okay.
Kerry Mead.
We didn't have to worry about that for too long this year anyway, at least.
We did not, James. You're dead right.
Flash in.
Let's get to the weekend, boys, because we have got a member show coming out tomorrow where we'll go through some matchups, some members' questions, predictions, and we'll also have an interview coming up with a certain fella involved in World GAA Games and a former intercounty footballer. I'll bring you that tomorrow. But this weekend, we've got three cracking games of football. On Saturday, we have got Conor Laverty's Down up against Oisín McConville and Paddy Andrews Wicklow.
Correct.
In the Tailteann Cup final. We have got then a Louth and Mayo semi-final at 6 o'clock. This is going to be absolutely raucous. It's going to be wild. How are you feeling before we get to Sunday in Dublin and Kerry, which is one thing? How are you feeling ahead of Saturday in Croke Park?
I'm finding it very hard to call because it feels like a game that's a lot more has to be taken into account than just a football match. Like, if you can imagine the emotions and the pride and the feeling going through that Louth County, never mind dressing room at the moment, like they're going into an All-Ireland semi-final with genuinely a great chance of being in an All-Ireland final. Like the level of excitement and buzz that they'll need to just keep a lid on over the last week and the week coming, it all plays a big part. Mayo, I know that they're a very young team, but they're almost expected to be around this stage and finals, and they've been around a lot of them. Their management would have, you know, Gavin Devlin has as well, but it's just Mayo seem to have more experience in this situation. But Louth, like, the excitement levels must be incredible. And I have them. I think that Louth are a seriously hardy group this year. Like, whatever Devlin has done with them, he's added to what Joe Brennan did. But they're never beaten. They're tough. They're physical in the tackle. And what proved it to me really was when they beat Dublin that day in the All-Ireland series. They just matched them for lots of things. And then obviously with the Armagh game. But Louth are going to this game on top of the world, crest of a wave, a great chance of getting into an All-Ireland final, and they must be just buzzing. I like the Louth crowd. They don't need any calling from the manager the next day. They're going to go into the game absolutely screaming the place down. Like, it's just going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. So I'm actually looking forward to that game probably more because of what's on the line for both teams. And like, Mayo are probably a year or two ahead of schedule. Would they have thought they'd get to an All-Ireland final this year with changing their style and going with the youth? Probably not. Have Louth ever thought about going for an All-Ireland final? Probably not outside the dressing room. So there's lots of stories at play, but it's an exciting one. It's the more exciting one for me this weekend.
What? Oh, more exciting. Wow.
Yeah.
Kerry complacency there, Tommy, but that's okay.
Is that because he's nervous or is that complacency?
No, complacency, James. I'd say.
There's no complacency. I like that. We won't go to Sunday yet, but like,
are you going to the match on Sunday, are you?
I am going, yeah.
All right, okay.
I'll probably leave off the final, see.
But you're not working.
No, I'm not working. I'm working Saturday again.
Okay.
I'm there Saturday too. I agree with you on the, it is an exciting game. I know a few people through work in Louth, and you're right. There is excitement levels off the charts. It's like Christmas has come early. What an opportunity for them. It's been some run for them, hasn't it? The last couple of years. If you're a Louth GAA supporter, the last couple of years, like the promotions, getting to the Leinster final a couple of years ago, winning the Leinster final then last season, the wins in Inniskeen. Remember they beat Cork in Inniskeen in the All-Ireland
series? That was a big win.
The Armagh win. Always, Inniskeen is challenging Killarney. Anytime I'm there, it's about 28 degrees as well, I remember. And then just the build-up this season as well. Like, and again, you just go back to that Port Leash game against Dublin. That's only 7 or 8 weeks ago. And they look, Jesus, these guys are miles off. Like, the way they've turned around their season again over the last 4 weeks, the style, the football they're playing. I know they maybe the last play of the Armagh game, they do get lucky. Rafferty makes a bad mistake, but they're right in that game. You know, they're playing high quality stuff up to that point to even be in that situation. To beat Monaghan like Lazarus like stuff, 65 minutes under these rules with 14 men. And it's the old stalwarts driving it on, the impact off the bench, Byrne and McDonald and these guys, but then there's the new influx of younger stars coming through. It's like a perfect mix that they've got going on. And what, like, just coming back to this, when the draw was made 2 weeks, what an opportunity. It's like, you say to Loud, their players, Gavin Devon, their supporters, you're on one game away from All-Ireland final, you're playing Mayo. And the same for Andy Moore and those Mayo supporters. To, you know, they were hammered by the Rossies at home in McHale Park in the Connacht Championship. And you're thinking, okay, there's lots of new faces. Andy, to be fair, he's an unbelievably positive guy. He's gone, this is a multi-year project we're working on here. We've got to bring through guys. There's obviously been a cohort of players, Aidan O'Shea, Killian O'Connor, Dermot O'Connor, these guys, legendary players. They can't keep doing it forever. We've got to try and bring through new blood. And that the beauty of any team and any manager in any sport is, can they go through that, the dirty word, that transition period, and still maintain success? And that's what's on the line for Mayo. They're looking at it from their side going, one game away from an All-Ireland final, you have to play Loud. So it's the opportunity you feel for both teams, both sets of supporters. It's a sellout. Two great sets of supporters, they get excited, but that's what being a supporter is all about. I think the occasion is, I think we're very lucky as football fans, the way the championship has gone and the weekend we have ahead of us with these two games. Here's one novel pairing, but that makes it so exciting, the opportunity on show here for two sets of players. And then Sunday is Sunday. We're obviously biased. It's the biggest game for us in Gaelic football as Dublin or Kerry players, but it's also just an amazing spectacle as well. Like, we're in for the treat. Jesus Christ, it's class.
It is class. And, you know, the 50s will be referenced throughout this week in terms of, I suppose, the long drought between Loud's last All-Ireland final appearance and winning 69 years ago and Mayo entering a 75th season with an All-Ireland title, which I wonder, would it be better if they weren't in All-Ireland finals in the last 75 years? I don't think so. I actually think the fact that they keep getting back.
It would,
Do you, James? I don't know.
I think the baggage of losing finals. I don't know. I can see the winners of the other semi-final winning the All-Ireland, right? Let's be honest. Whoever wins the Dublin-Kerry game are going to be huge, huge favourites to win the All-Ireland. There's no doubt about that. But even if I'm Mayo, I getting back to another final, there's almost a bit of trepidation. You're like, God, do I want to go and lose another one? No, I'm talking about supporters. Like, it definitely does weigh.
You're talking about fans, okay.
Well, yeah, but again, just like the Cork-Hurling, it seeps. Do you know, there's a bit of seepage. I mean, no one wants to turn up to an All-Ireland final and be beaten. You want to go in with full expectation you're going to win it. I think that does carry some baggage. I think that Lowe would have an awful lot less baggage going in here. In a once-off game, it makes a difference, I think, that Lowe are almost going to play freer. That said, Mayo have, you know, they've embraced the youth. But if I look at Lowe, Lowe have embraced the youth as well, because James Maguire, Darren McDonnell, McArdle, like, these fellas are very young. Yeah, he's gone, though, is he?
He's gone for Donald Trump appeal.
I don't know if Trump intervened in Callaghan's.
Is Gavin Devlin on to Jarlett Burns?
I don't know would Jarlett fold as easily as Infantino. Infantino just it was spent over. That's
spectacular stuff.
Like, Callaghan is going to be a big loss there because. And we'll get to that, James. You keep going. We'll come back to matchups in a minute. You keep going there.
No, the other thing I was going to say is about if I am Mayo here, right? I think I'm going after Loud's keeper because I think as a goalie, right, you need an awful lot of experience of putting down the tee or putting the ball down the tee, taking your steps back, and 80,000 screaming at you. Like, I don't know, can anything prepare you for that? Only doing it lots and lots and lots of times.
Livingston at the other end, Jimmy, as well. Like, he's only a kid,
I know. But McDonald didn't cover himself in glory in the last couple of games. Even in the Monaghan game with the two goals, you could question him at times. I agree, Livingston's young and he's going to be under pressure as well. But like Mayo tactically, I think that's the area that they can go after. And we all know if you have more possession, you've a great chance. If I was Mayo, I'd be doing an awful lot of work on kickouts over the last 2 weeks or last week and the week coming and try and put McDonald under a lot of pressure in the low goals.
I'm sure they have, and I think it is an interesting area. And I think with Livingston, you know, being in his rookie season and some of the brilliant shot stops he's had, Paddy, kickouts from Livingston, a lot of them are going long. Like, they're not risking the shortish medium ones that maybe Shane Murphy will try, you know, given his form.
Livingston's been an outstanding in like the fundamental aspects of goalkeeping, shot stopping. He's been incredible. Some of the saves he's pulled off in nearly every match. And there was a problem with that. Why is he having to make those saves? And that was the big plus for Mayo the last day against Cork. They had that collective defence, just far greater intensity and hunger, and they flooded their own centre channel. So they didn't leave anyone isolated, which was key. And they need to bring that, needless to say, they need to bring that again on Saturday evening. Mayo haven't covered themselves in glory on their own midfield battle themselves. You know, yeah. I think one thing for certain, you look at Darren McDonald as a game for the ages against Monaghan. He wins, 9 or 10 kickouts himself. But young Mooney and goal for Monaghan, like, to your point, Jimmy, he felt the heat there. He was literally just chipping the ball out the middle. You know, like, Mayo aren't going to do that. So I don't think Loud will have as much dominance. The Callaghan being missing, does Tommy Dernan go in from the start? Does he have 70 minutes in him? You know.
Yeah, I wonder. Will Paul Matthews come in?
Maybe not.
Dernan, you know, for that punch off the bench.
But it's the same every game, lads. It's midfield battle. You need to have possession. You know, possession is the key here. And if your own kickout is not at the races, you are under serious pressure, because there's so little between these teams. You know, the margins are so fine, and if it's McDonald and goal for Loud, or Livingston has the hiccups as a young goalkeeper, I'm not saying he will, but if you get that aspect of the game right, it's a huge way to win in this game. I think if I'm Mayo, I'm looking at from Andy Moran's side and going, there's your template for defending. Now, Loud have a bit more to their attack than Cork's plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, we'll try plan A again. Loud have a bit more than that, a bit more nuance with Mulroy, and the impact off the bench with Byrne. So, you know, there's 20 minutes here. He's nearly like a Kev Mack type character. So Loud, they'd be harder to nail down. But in terms of filling up that centre channel, not making a hero out of Mulroy with 2-point frees, Mayo need to tick all of those boxes. But I think they're key. And where Loud are going to be under the pump, that full forward line. Colby, you know, Byrne and Ryan O'Donoghue. I feel if I'm those three guys, the way Loud set up, I'm edging that one towards Mayo. If those three boys perform. And how many times have Mayo come into Croke Park where they're going, nearly, they're trying to make up for maybe a blunt enough attack. I think it's nearly the other way around this year. You know, Colby looks so at home, and Byrne has manned a match the last day. You know, they're young players, it's hard to get that consistency, but those three guys for Mayo hit their heights. Oh, I think that could win it for them. You know, it's tough, so tight to call. But
it's an interesting one. Let's linger on that for a second, because I am wondering, like, matchups wise, is Donal McKenney, you know, a fellow who's been in all-star conversations in recent years, is he the man for Ryan O'Donoghue? He's aggressive, the RD defender, he's sticky. Maybe same size. So McKenney could be there. I'd say, you know, Darren Alley possibly picking up Dara Byrne. But like, let's not forget, Loud are missing Dermot Campbell, their main number three. And they are missing Peter Lynch, who's been their stalwart at six. So he's out with a cruciate. And Campbell, I don't think, will be back. But the Colby conundrum, I'm going to get to Mulroy in a second. Like, if Moran pulls a trick and moves Colby a little further out the pitch, or it leaves him in the corner. Like, how are they going to stop Colby? Because he did look at home the last day. I know he's young and he's raw.
But like, I think that one of them is going to play 11 on Darren McDonald, because Darren McDonald is so influential that you have to put him going the other way. You have to have his mind occupied by someone getting in behind him, making runs out to the side. Do I stick in the middle? Do I go? Can I commit to getting this kick out? Or is this fella going to run off me and being on goals afterwards? I think that either Colby or Ryan O'Donoghue in the 11-ish position there, probably Ryan O'Donoghue, needs to cause him hassle, needs to occupy his mind.
He's a monster in the air.
He is. But if you're dragged away from that area by the threat of someone, like Ryan Dunne, who's not going to compete with him airily, like, so realistically, someone else is going to be competing with him, and Ryan Dunne, who can easily cheat off and create a lot of pain for him. But if there's nobody on him and they're kind of matching up similar-ish on him, Darren McDonald can continue to kind of have a huge impact. I'd be playing one of them outside to make sure that he's occupied at all times.
In defense, if you're Gavin Devlin, you don't want to curb Darren McDonald. You don't really, I know he's named centre back, he's wearing number six.
He's playing midfield, isn't he?
You don't want him dealing with someone going backwards. So Gavin Devlin knows that as well.
Like, no.
He's not going to go, we want you to curb your game and mark Ryan Dunne. And you know what we're seeing, lads? We talk a lot about matchups in games, and I know we'll get onto it for the game on Sunday as well. The game is so fluid now. I think that this is nearly emphasized even more under the new rules of three up and lads swapping in. I don't know if we're really seeing many one-to-one matchups for 70 minutes. I think the game is so, like, I know from looking from Dublin side and a lot of these games against Donegal and Galway the last couple of weeks, you're not really seeing, you know, the 70-minute man-to-man battles. It's usually the game is flows up and down the pitch, and all of a sudden someone else is picking up, you know, a David Clifford or whatever it might be. And I think the way Kobe and Ryan O'Donoghue are so interchangeable that they'll both spend periods out the pitch, and there'll be certain attacks where they're not marked by anyone. And they're also smart players, so they're going to be looking for that. So I don't think you can get too hung up on going, you have to mark this guy. And this is maybe a problem that Mayo had up until that Cork game, where they were playing nearly the old way of defending, going, they're trying to match up with everyone, and lads are getting dragged all over the pitch. Lads are getting dragged up into the fucking jacks.
I know, but Paddy, if you were playing Paddy, right, and you were marking one fella, and next thing, a couple of minutes later, he was gone, you're picking up someone else. Like, you're falling between the cracks there. I think you can cause an awful lot of damage as a forward, if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. I would love
that. Like, if there's a different fella on you every so often.
And
I'd love it. I agree with you.
What if a Craig Lennon drifted further back and did something similar to an O'Donoghue or a Kobe going the other way?
That was the other thing that I was going to say about Mayo's attack. Craig Lennon is so influential in attack. I'd be putting an awful lot of my attacks down there, down right half forward, because Lennon needs to be worked into the ground as well. He is so influential in the game, attacking wise. He has to be.
Transition is key. He's
he has to be thinking about defending. If he's able to play his own game, him, Darren McDonald, Mulroy playing their own game, they're brilliant, brilliant players. But you need to make them think. So I wonder what Moran will do with that right half forward position. Like, have to attack that area and get shots off from there to make sure that Lennon is kept honest as well. Like, load of threats from everywhere. The only way to stop these threats, you can't mark them. You have to make them think about the other direction.
Paddy, do you remember the job that Donoghue McHugh did on Brian Fenton in the Hyde a couple of years back?
Yeah.
I think. Do you remember that? I wonder will Moran task McHugh. I know he did well on Sherlock the last day inside. I wonder will Moran task McHugh with following Mulroy out the pitch.
That's like, there's Mulroy, there's Kieran Downey as well. There's Craig Lennon. You can't man mark everyone. Mulroy's role, he's very influential, but as the seasons have gone on, he's dropping far deeper into being like a playmaker role, nearly like a Scully for Dublin or a Paddy Clifford for Kerry. He's not as much a scoring threat from play. Whereas, so if you're a Mayo, do you go, we put McHugh on him, or do we put McHugh or Sam Callanan? These are a key kind of matchup guys. Do we sacrifice one of them for Kieran Downey, who's maybe more of a scoring threat, or Burns when he comes onto the pitch in the last 20 minutes?
Burns is a good start,
If I'm loud, you're keeping guys in reserve there. You know, nobody likes
Casey Byrne.
Yes. You do a great job coming off the bench. Sorry, you're going to keep doing that job. You're not going to get the start.
No, you're not.
But Mulroy, what I'm trying to say, I don't know. You can't, like I said, you can't mark everyone. Mayo had been guilty of being dragged and manipulated, and the defensive system being wide open by being moved all over the pitch. I think they've learned their lesson from that based on the Cork performance, where it's more collective. And it's a case, whereas Mulroy is not that close to goal, they don't designate an individual to mark him. They just know when we're in attack, whoever is closest to him, but it might be a Jordan Flynn, you know, you're going on him then. So you don't leave him set. You know, he's free during plays, but it's not one guy who's just going to drift out and stand in the middle of the pitch with him. So it's that balance. Yeah. Colin Boyle would be very, he would have played against that a lot himself. Yeah. And Paddy Talley, obviously, and Andy Moran. So it's... Yeah.
I'll tell you what, James Maguire is going to need picking up time before you go to break.
Correct.
Like, he got four against Manon.
Four the last day.
He got three against Armagh. He got two goals against Dublin.
He did.
Like, there's a lot of attacking threats coming from everywhere.
It's the baller in semi-final, Jimmy. Yeah, you're playing the which best is fantastic. Here. That's the way it should be.
It's fantastic to see. I do think the best form of defence is attack. It's just... I know myself that if I felt like I had someone's number or whatever, I'd be much more comfortable in attack. Whereas if someone was putting me on the back foot, I would not be comfortable. And I think that load have so many fellas comfortable in attack that Mayo have to get them thinking about something else going the other way.
Okay. It's a savage game. It's too enthralling.
What are you thinking, Tommy? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we're going to do our predictions on the members pod because we've got a members pod. And we're also on News Talk on Saturday, the three of us, before the Talton Cup final and the Loud Mayo game. And we'll have our November panel too. There's a lot going on this week, boys.
I told you, we see too much of each other. Like I see it's more than me on sometimes. Kids.
But hey, this time of the year, it's good. It's good. It's good to be together. Down and Wicklow, we'll talk about it more on Saturday and on our members pod. But Down and Wicklow in terms of a matchup, it's a funny one. Wicklow's form in Croke Park has been class. They've been racking up big scores. We saw what they did to the Dubs earlier this year, the underdogs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, did you see the brilliant open training session they had last weekend down in Wicklow, but they started it off at 11 a.m. with a dedicated sensory-friendly session before the rest of the public got in. Loads of photos with the players and kids. Just capitalizing on this little bit of momentum. And you can see McConville and the influence he's having. And he knows to buy into this and to big these things up. And some fabulous photos printed in the Independent, actually, if you go have a look at it from that session the last day. They're in such good form. They've had such massive comebacks in a key league game, in a Talchin Cup semi-final. They've had big performances as underdogs. But they're up against the big dogs of Talchin Cup and Down, who really want to secure Sam McGuire football next year. How do you see Saturday going? Like, Paddy, you've been a Wicklow stan your whole life. How do you see this going?
I like what they're doing, the momentum they have behind it, and it's a massive day for Wicklow football. And for Rushy McAlvin's been there a while. There's that continuity of having a couple of seasons there where there's been ups and downs. I think their main focus probably would have been on getting out of Division 4, and they were very, very unlucky this season not to do that. And like I said, on their day, they're a very dangerous team. The challenge for them is the Talton Cup, we see this, there seems to be, even within the Talton Cup, there's a gulf between teams. Whatever about Sam McGuire and Talton Cup, they're in Division 2 next year. They whopped Donegal in the opening round of the Championship. You know, if Down perform on Conor Laverty's players, and that's the big question mark over them, we said it from day one, when you say Down were going to be in the Talton Cup, they should probably not be in that competition with the quality they have and the journey they've been on. But they've made a couple of errors, a couple of boo-boos. They fell flat after that Donegal victory against Armagh, and they found themselves here. The way I'm looking at this, really clinically, you have a Division 4 team against a Division 2 team. So usually that goes one way. But the question marks are, well, Wicklow supporters travel here on Saturday night and hope is gone. We've a lot of momentum behind us. You get the sense maybe this even means more to us than those Down players. If they feel like, and that's what Conor Laverty's got a battle against, going, we're in this situation because we're in it. You know, we made a couple of mistakes. That's why we're in this. But we've got to sure as hell make sure we win this competition. They've won it before. I think quality-wise, it's very hard to predict any of these games, guys, because we've seen it all summer. The margins are so tight. But if you're going on what we've seen today, even with all the will in the world that Wicklow have, Down's running game, their scoring power, their goal threat, the intensity they can get to, it's a Division 2 team now against a Division 4 team. So I'm expecting they'll win. I've said that from day one. I'd be happy if I'm wrong.
Just before we move on to... It's interesting that these two teams, right, I think they're playing for different prizes. Like, Wicklow are playing for the silverware. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Like, what an achievement it would be to win the Talton.
Yeah.
Reward the support, build momentum, use it going forward and to develop all the teams. And it would be massive. Even all the championship games would have developed them so much. But that trophy, that silverware, would actually propel them forward. Down are playing for Sam Maguire next year. Like, that is, that's their main, not main goal, but like, that's the main prize for them. I don't think that necessarily winning the Talton will do as much for them, but for this team, they will want to 100% be back in Sam Maguire next year. So it's very interesting to see the two teams, in my mind, playing for two completely different prizes, both as important as each other.
For sure.
But I think I agree with Petty. I think that Down are coming from such a high level at times.
But you feel if this comes down to the wire, that'll count? You know, if this comes down to the last 10 and we're talking about Limerick and Clare at the weekend and the Hurlingers, like, there's no way Limerick are just going to lose this game. Is that little bit where I get the sense, I agree with you, does it mean a bit more to Wicklow? Does that count? Could that swing it? Could that be the difference? Mm-hmm.
It could. Like, yeah, I think this, it's a one-off, 100%. This is it. This is the final for us. We're going to empty everything. Whereas for Down, is it more of the progression or the what we get out of this next year, where as opposed to the instant reward, which is so motivating. So maybe Wicklow do have that extra bit of motivation.
I think they're going to have maybe a bigger crowd as well. Or maybe not, but a bigger crowd down the road, maybe a couple of hundred more maybe on the weekend. Their forwards have been scoring heavily in Croke Park as well, as I mentioned. Chris O'Brien managed match the last day. Oshie McGrainer, O'Toole, Quinn. Dean Healy's always good for a score. So it'll be really interesting, I think, this game on Saturday. We'll be covering it for Off the Ball on Saturday. Going to take a quick break on the Football Pod, brought to you by Movember ahead of the game. Already reaching over 16,500 players, parents, coaches across Irish clubs with the tools to look after their mental health. Visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how you can be a part of it. We'll be doing a panel before the games on Saturday with Movember outside Croke Park as well. So keep an eye out for us at the weekend. We're back in a moment on the Football Pod, looking ahead to Dublin Kerry on Sunday.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves, and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The Football Pod, on Off the Ball, brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
Welcome back to the Football Pod, Tommy, Paddy and James. James, I'm going to start with you.
Thanks, Tom.
Ger Brennan, Kerry are certainly the standout favourites and all the pressure is on them. Kerry's...
Did he say that? I never heard that.
Kerry's record against Dublin, I was at the press launch yesterday. Kerry's record against Dublin in championship ain't pretty over the last 15 years.
Every game is away from home, though, to be fair. Right into their barrel, into Croke Park. Well, I agree. Dublin have always been a tough... not a tough day for Kerry, but I agree. We definitely haven't gotten over the line enough against Dublin. And it's almost where you really do gauge yourself. Have you beaten Dublin? How did the game go? How did you play? Like, that is... It's almost the gauge of your ability levels in Kerry. It's like, did you beat Dublin? Are you a great team? Did you beat Dublin? But like... At the same time, Kerry's whole motivation for this is going to be going back to back. I think you're a very special team if you go back to back. Obviously, we've seen teams like Dublin go a couple in a row. That's next level stuff. But if you can go back to back, it proves it proves that you're a brilliant, brilliant team. So I think that will be a huge motivating factor for Kerry. And again, whether the listeners like it or not, both these teams are going to think that if they win this game, they'll win it. So they're going to leave it all on the line this weekend. If I was Kerry, looking at Dublin, I'd be worried about our defence in a way. That the way that Kerry play at the moment is so fantastic in attack. The level of ability up front with Dylan Gainey, Paul Gainey, David Clifford, you know, Shawnee coming back, Gavin White breaking up from defence, Breen Begley coming back, Joe Connor, Dermot O'Connor, like these fellas in attack, sensational. The trade-off with that is that you do leave space at the back, which everyone is 100% okay with. That is the trade-off. You need brilliant defenders to cope with it. But I suppose at the moment, there's teams finding some holes in the Kerry defence. And for Tyrone to kick 27 against Kerry, that will have no doubt been the major talking point in the Kerry backroom team and in the dressing room over the last week. They can't afford...
2-pointers.
Yeah. Well, you see, again, there's a trade-off then because you're stopping the goals going in, but you might be, you know, opening up the two-pointer. Like, just because there were two-pointers, I don't think gives you a pass. If anything, it's because you're doing something else that you're allowing those two-pointers to happen. And when I look at Tyrone's attack, their half-forward line, to me, the last day, didn't cause that much threat in terms of scoring. But then I look at Dublin's attack, and I'm thinking Basquel, Costello, Khan, Scully, Bugler, Paddy Small, Kieran Kilkenny, did I say him? Like, the amount of ability and score takers in that is huge. So I think Kerry need to do as much similar as they can going forward from their kickouts, their expansive play, what the pressure is going to be on those defenders, those individual battles. Can we stop these fellas from scoring the high 27s? Like, if Dublin kick 27, Dublin will fancy themselves by stopping Kerry kicking 27. So that's where it's at with Kerry. In terms of improving from game to game, they need to just shore up a little bit in defence and keep the attack. In terms of matchups then, I think that Jason Foley is going to go on Khan. I would imagine Paul Murphy will pick up Costello. Kilkenny's going so far back the field, they'll probably leave him off in a way. And then Scully, it's going to be really interesting what Kerry do with Scully, because we saw him against Loud when he wasn't picked up. He just dictated the game. There was a couple of times where he literally stood in the middle of the field and pinged outside of the boots to the left and then got it back and pinged it outside of the boot to the right. You can't leave him do that. So there has to be heat in him. So it'll be interesting to see, well, do they push someone out on him as well?
In a normal world, would you put a Breen O'Bugliac on him? Like, Breen is not back, according to Jack O'Connor, but Tom O'Sullivan is back and training. I doubt Tom will be bombed straight in, will he? Shane Ryan is still out as well. Like, no. Would you put a Graham O'Sullivan on Scully? Maybe that doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, like as Paddy said about the previous discussion, I don't think you can actually match up on all six. Like, well, you're going to have to almost take your...
He's going up and down the pitch. It's not going to be one individual on him. I think...
Yeah,
okay. Jack O'Connor is going to be looking at this going, Jack O'Connor's used to this with Paddy on his own side. He's like, Scully makes everything tick. More so than even Kilkenny. Whereas Kilkenny for years was the key guy, and he's still essential. But Scully, in terms of that transition up the pitch, the link to Khan, it's, and his just role in that team. Also, he's, even when Dublin are going well in the National League, Scully's still the man, getting all the possessions. And the beauty of him, and spoken like true inside forwards, the first thing he's looking to do is, how far can I kick this ball inside? It's what we love to see. His last resort is to turn and go, fuck, I'm going to give a hand pass here. He's looking to go, can I hit 50-yard kick pass? And he's the skill to execute it. So I don't know if it's a one-to-one battle, particularly that far out the pitch, but no more than we said with Mulroy on the loud side. Kerry will, on the transition, they're going to be roaring, Scully, get on him. Someone get on him. Because he is key. He is the lifeblood into Khan. And I remember saying on this show, Tommy, Jesus, maybe three, four months ago, whatever about transition and Ger Brennan's role and bringing through all this, the younger players and the underage issues that Dublin have, if they were going to do anything in the 2026 season, it was all going to hang on four or five of those stalwarts. If they can deliver, Dublin have a chance. And to their credit, and this is the question mark, did they have it in them? Did they have the stones and the will to go, this is going to be a fight? We're not as good as we used to be as a team, but we can still drain that orange one little bit more. They've shown it over the last month to get themselves into the situation. And on Sunday, Kerry are big favourites, no doubt about it. You're not going to get many people tipping the Dubs, but there will be a period in this game where Dublin have Kerry on the ropes. And it's for that, whether it might be, you think the 22 semi-final, remember that? It was a similar building. Kerry were big favourites and are really schooling Dublin that first half. They missed the penalty.
And no Conor Callaghan.
That's and no Conor at the time, but Dublin have a period of 15 or 20 minutes. And if Dublin can get that period on Sunday and hit 2-4, 2-5, that could swing it for them. So there is going to be a period for that. But
James McCarthy nearly dragged us over the line on his own. That's where
Kieran Kilkenny is in the James McCarthy mold now. Conn is in that mold. And that's the beauty of this Dublin team. And we've seen it against Galway in all its glory. When the shit hits the fan and a match is there to be won, these boys have been there, done it, and got the T-shirts. So they're going to rely on that on Sunday.
Some of them.
Oh, that's like, what I'm saying to you. But that's, if it's coming down to it, and this game is going down to the wire, I want Scully, Howard, Kilkenny, Conn on the ball. They've been there at the highest of high pressures, and they've shown it. And no more so.
That's what they're good at, actually, as well, isn't it? They keep the big dogs in the game at the end.
Give them the ball.
They only give it to each other.
Give them the ball. And that's okay. This is not mini leagues. Everyone gets a touch of the ball. Fuck me. Get it to Kilkenny, get it to Scully, get it to Howard. The kickouts, Evan, he'll be hitting Howard down the stretch. And it's Dublin have a chance because of those guys still in the team. They've got good young guys, Theo Clancy, McMorrow, and these fellas. And it's going to be, for a lot of those guys, this will be their first sellout in Croker. And Jimmy, you said at the top of the show, and I'll always remember this in our group, Declan Darcy, one of the great coaches we all had the fortune of playing with. He's like, lads, to be brutally honest here, like, we don't really give a shit what you do in the National League. We don't care if you score 110 against, a Meath or Kildare. You are judged by us, your teammates judge you, and really, as a Dublin footballer, on what you do against two or three big teams, and Kerry is the number one. You perform in this game and you can call yourself a proper Dublin footballer, and that's the opportunity on both sets. And I know you guys are the same, Jimmy, you said it. This is it. This is it. Well, and that's an exciting thing. I think you should be excited by that as a player.
I can understand that. I can understand that too. Like, you've won 69 All-Irelands between you. You've been in 80-odd percent of All-Ireland finals as two counties. You do judge each other off each other. And that is, that's what makes Sunday, in a different way to Saturday, just so interesting. Shane Manton, I'm saving the majority of our questions from our listeners for the members pod, but Shane Manton is wondering, is Theo Clancy the matchup for David Clifford, given that Nathan Doran's out, Kennedy's a rookie, Clancy has the size, the athleticism? You going with a possibly? Are you going to give us any more?
I don't know. You can match up this a couple of ways up, Eddie. You can go size, right? But you have to be an out-and-out defensive instinct defender to mark Clifford. Do you know? Because he's going to play like a 5-9 or 5-10. He's going to be doing the backdoor cuts. He's going to be doing the little push-off, the nudges, the out-in-fronts, the spins. Fair enough matching him physically, but you have to be really tuned into the rest of it. Like, I think you need an out-and-out full backline player on him. I think the Clancy probably will get the nod to mark him, but is that a good matchup for Dublin?
Is anyone a good matchup for Clifford? There's a bit of that. Do we go, this guy's going to score 110? Do we bother, trying to base the whole build-up around this? Because what about Dylan Gainey? What about Paddy Clifford? Matchups. Yeah. And I keep coming back to, you can't man-mark everyone. So what does Lee Gannon do? Back in the day, Kerry was David Clifford and Shawnee Shea, and it was like Fitzy and John Small. The beauty of having a man marker on the half back line and the full back line. Dublin probably don't have either of those at the minute. And Kerry's threat is not just David Clifford. But Dylan Gainey scored 17 points with 17 shots. Like, he's on football of the year form. Whatever about Cliffy, like. So there's a lot of fires. This is the beauty of Kerry at their best. But for Dublin as a defensive system, we've a lot of fires to put out. You can't man mark everyone because Kerry are too cute. They'll drag you all over the place and just create running lanes for Gavin White, for Dermot O'Connor, for Brian O'Buglock if he's playing. That's the challenge they face. Not to be boring on it again, but the kickouts are massive again. You know, Kerry with the two O'Connors, Joe and Dermot, Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien, and Shane Murphy planted the kickouts exactly where he needs to. And Kerry's movement and how they create space for each other is brilliant play. Dublin are light at midfield. Patter's a big man, but Kieran is playing midfield. Not huge, and we know he's going to get his hands on something no matter what, just because of his will. But Dublin had the luxury of playing against the Galway team where it was total bullshit and just we're going to take 90 seconds to kick it out and we're just going to launch it out the middle. Kerry will have far more variety in that. And the other thing the challenge for Dublin is their defenders were never isolated against Galway and against Donegal to an extent, because Donegal just were on fumes. They had no energy, couldn't get the ball up the pitch quickly. Donegal at their best. So they played two teams where there's really slow transition. That absolutely plays into Dublin's hands because they don't want one-on-one isolate, particularly against forwards of the calibre that Kerry have. It allows Dublin, and what they will guarantee to bring on Sunday, they're going to work their holes off. They're going to run into the ground. That is what Ger Brennan has put into that team and all the best Dublin teams. You're going out to your responsibility. You break your balls, and they'll do that. But if Kerry allow Dublin to get 12 or 13 guys back, it doesn't really matter then around one-to-one matchups. It's really back to the old rules. But I think Kerry are going to look long on the kickouts, and literally, if Mark O'Shea wins a big kickout, I wouldn't even look. I'd say he's just turn around and volley the ball inside and get the ball up the pitch really quickly to get those one-on-ones. Because if that's the way it goes, Jimmy, and it is, whether it's Theo Clancy, whether it's Lee Gannon, whether it's Charlie McMorrow, whether it's Davey Byrne back, rolling back the years, if Kerry get one-to-ones consistently on Sunday, Dublin don't have the guys. They don't to stop it. Yeah. So they're going to rely on team defence, and you can only do that if transitions are slow and shit and Dublin can get some joy on Murphy's kickouts. And it's broken record. Every game under these rules, it comes down, can you get a platform at midfield? How good is your goalkeeper? How good is your movement to secure possession? And both teams, like, that's how they operate. So it's no different on Sunday.
Like, that's why I think that every Kerry forward loves playing against Dublin, and every Dublin forward loves playing against Kerry because those spaces are there.
Man on man, baby. Kick it in. Yeah. Let's go.
Exactly. And you risk a turnover by kick passing it or playing more expansive. But that's where I think that Dublin will be cuter this year. I think they'll play a little bit less risk because if they don't kick the ball dead, and they get turned over, man for man at the back on these Kerry forwards, I think they would be tattooed. Like, they have to ensure that every single attack is a wide or a point. Like, it can't drop short. It can't be a slip pass where Kerry get a turnover and up they go. So I think the Kerry playing that way would win every single day out playing like that. But hey, like, Dublin need to be very cute and not turn over the ball.
Jimmy, they know that. This isn't their first rodeo. They'll have a plan for all of this stuff. Don't worry about that.
but there's one thing having the plan, but like...
Let's see.
James, has the mood music changed in the Kerry WhatsApp group?
How do you mean?
Do you know, since, like, look at Paddy's face, listen to Paddy's voice, the manner in which the Dubs have kind of re-emerged from their slumber over the last couple of weekends. Are you?
Yeah, but that's almost a bad sign of the Dubs, like, because they wanted nothing to do with them, right? They wanted nothing to do with them until July. And next thing,
sell out. I've been hounded for tickets. Have you got 10 Hill tickets?
So I don't know. No, there's been no mood music change. I think that
what's Darrow
every supporter is buzzing to get back up to Kerry Dublin. Like, I don't care how Dublin are going, how Kerry are going. Kerry Dublin just gets something different going inside you when you're from those counties.
Yeah. What's Darrow? I don't know. Irish Times column this week.
Well, I mean, I know that the O'Shea's kind of said already that they expect Kerry to win it. That's kind of where they went with it. I don't think it's ever as good as you think or as bad as you think. So this in a once-off game with that crowd, beautiful weather.
Warm,
it's going to be a phenomenal occasion.
25, 26 degrees phenomenal. As well.
Sticky ball. I can guarantee you there'll be nobody playing outfield wearing gloves. That's what I can't wait for.
Do you know one thing on the Darryl Shea thing, right? I remember you said at the time before the Donegal match, Tommy. They're great articles, very entertaining, and obviously he knows the stuff. But
I love him.
The tone of his articles are quite funny to read, like, and he mentions that like, Dublin shouldn't be talking about Parnell Park and all that stuff as well. And I kind of got what I understood where he was coming from to a point. That Dublin, and this is before the Donegal game. Remember when the whole country saying this team are finished? I didn't think they beat Donegal, and it. Dublin should always, because of that history you said, Tommy, and there's always going to be players in Dublin. There's hundreds, thousands, there's 10 or 11 adult divisions. So there's always players. It's just about trying to manage that and get the most out of it. Dublin can never slip down to and go through another 16 years, 95 to 2000, without winning All-Ireland. And yeah. Dublin were in danger of, say they're relegated to Division 2 and they get whopped by Donegal in that game. All of a sudden, Dublin, the route they're on looks like they are not falling into the pack. They're in the pack. They're in like your Division 2 team. You know, you don't keep the show on the road. You're in the Tata Cup here, lads, in a couple of years. That can never, no matter how bad a Dublin manager might be or how bad the crop of players are perceived to be, there needs to be an expectation, rightly or wrongly from the outside, but within the team, that we can win the All-Ireland. And if you guys are the same, Jimmy, down in Kerry, it's like, we don't care if Jack O'Connor's the manager or James O'Donoghue's the manager, or if we've got Clifford or we haven't. Success or failure is on winning the All-Ireland. And if you have that mentality as a group, you're always going to be in the mix. And I think Dublin were in danger of maybe lose. They've lost that aura of this invincibility. It's very hard for any team to keep that. But also, they were in danger of just becoming a non-event. So the wins against Donegal and Galway, that's a point Darryl Shea was making. Dublin can't talk like, we need to bring this to a little provincial yes. ground. So I agreed with him on that.
Yeah,
I agreed with this, the principle of it.
Yeah,
but that's sure. why those wins against Donegal and Galway, Dublin were showing, even though everyone thinks we're shite, and we're not the best Dublin team ever, and we've loads of new faces, we're Dublin. We've won, how many All-Irelands? 30-odd. But our standards are winning the All-Ireland. And that's why the last month, just reminded, I'm sure that within the camp they thought that, but it's reminded people outside the camp about it as well. And that's why Sunday is going to be a sellout. And that's why there's a buzz around this game and this Dublin team now, which they've earned over the last month. So it's, there you go.
How are you? I think you've set that up perfectly well. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, Saturday and Sunday, they're going to be beauts. We're going to be in each other's pockets throughout the week. We're going to leave this week's football pod here. We have a member show coming tomorrow. So if you want more, tune in for that. And we'll be back at the weekend as well. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, talk to you soon.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.